Open our Bibles to Psalm 119. I believe this is probably the 90th sermon on this chapter of Psalm 119. Beginning with verse 109, we will read through verse 112. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me. I have not gone astray from thy precepts. I have inherited thy testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever, even to the end. Notice the words, my soul is continually in my hand. Well, that sounds kind of strange. David was well acquainted with danger, constant threatening of danger. Whether day or night, both, he lived in constant danger. Death could have come at any time from the enemy without, or perhaps even from the betrayal of a trusted friend. In his early public life, he was in constant danger from the open violence and the secret plots of his bitter enemies. He was hunted, the scriptures say, as a partridge, that's a bird, often scarcely escaping the snare which the wicked hid for him at one time. He could not help acknowledge, there is but a step between me and death. On another occasion, he said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. His own son aimed at his throne and life. There are others in the Bible who have experienced like situations. The Apostle Paul very well could have agreed with and even said the same thing that David said. My life is continually in my hand. This was not isolated to David. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more. In far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 time I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And then he adds, apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Paul knew what it was to live day and night in constant danger. What about our Lord? Through the enmity of foes, his soul was continually in his hand. Yet, in spite of that, think how wonderful was his calmness, his serenity of mind. When surrounded by danger. The same calmness and serenity of mind has often been manifested in the lives of God's servants. Jake reminded me, I believe it is today, that is the anniversary of Martin Luther giving his famous speech in which his life, of course, was in danger. And at the end of the speech, he said, "Here I stand. I can do no other." A moment ago, we mentioned the Apostle Paul. I come back to Paul because in the threat of all of that danger, Paul said, "None of these things move me." I am ready not only to be bound, but to die. That's not all he said, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He could look tribulation, persecution, peril, sword in the face and not flinch. And while he carried his soul continually in his hand, in true Christian heroism, he most exalted the triumph of faith. He could say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he names several things. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, "For thy sake we are being put to death all the day long. We're considered as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing could make him flinch. Nothing could turn him back. Nothing could wring the love of the service of his God out of his heart. Did not the Apostle Paul speak and live in the same spirit and the same confidence as David? "Yet do I not forget your law." How about Daniel? Daniel shows courage, tenacity. When the wicked, after an ineffectual attempt to find occasion or fault with Daniel, They were driven to lay a snare for him in the law of his God. This noble confessor of the faith continued to kneel upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. He could have just backed away just a little bit, compromised for his own safety. The den of lions was far less fearful to his eyes than one devious step from the straight and narrow path. Sin was dreaded as worse than 1,000 deaths. He surely then could have said, "Yet I erred not from your precepts." What a testimony. Well, we're not Daniel, we're not Paul, we're not Martin Luther. But we are believers. What about you and I? What about the present time, today, tomorrow, this coming week? As we said here, we're not expecting to hear bombs hit the parking lot. Some of our brethren are. Nonetheless, these could be described as perilous times. There are issues which pose a threat to the true church of Jesus Christ. There have always been enemies of the cross, and there always will be until Christ returns. We live in a day when truth is attacked and maligned, where easy believism is substituted in the place of genuine biblical conversion, where entertainment replaces true, genuine biblical worship. And the question is, will the time come when we will be tempted to sell the truth? Will we be willing to buy the truth and sell it not at any cost? And that is exactly what I said, at any cost. Listen again to the words of David as recorded in our text. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me. I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited thy testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever, even to the end. In the day of danger, trial, and difficulty, David, Paul, Daniel, our Lord found recourse in the Word of God, and particularly the law of God. Again, look at the words of David. Look at that paragraph there, beginning with verse 109 through 112. Notice these terms: thy law, thy precepts, thy testimonies, thy statutes. Those are terms for the law of God. Think of our Lord when tempted. What did he say? It is written. It is written. What was written? You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That's the law. Our Lord quotes it in the time of temptation. This is indeed a time when genuine faith will be found to be of great value. In such a time, David experienced the reality of the blessing of having chosen the Lord for his God. When clouds began to gather in blackness, surrounding circumstances to the eyes and sense, he realized all sufficient support. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. But the cross, which proves and establishes the Christian, that experience, that trial, that difficulty, that danger, what effect does it have on the unbeliever? He is sifted by it, tried by it. And nothing but this solid principle of faith can resist either the persecution or the snare. Oh yes, many desire conformity to Christ and his people, but not the cross, not the trial, not the hardships, not the difficulties, not the dangers. They back away. They're not to be found. Dear ones, we ourselves are to dread this flinching spirit, rejected as did our Lord, with the indignation. It savors not of God. It is the voice of Satan. Satan, who would promise a pillow of carnal ease under our heads, a path of roses under our feet. But with it, a path of delusion and ruin. Watch, therefore, for you know not how soon we will be tried. Let your loins be girded about, your lights burning, and you yourselves like men wait for the Lord, and when he will return from the wedding, that he will come and find his faithful servants. The Bible says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Now back in our text, Psalm 119, look at verse 111. There's a word there that I want to draw your attention to. It's the word heritage. Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And dear ones, that Bible that you're holding in your hand, in your lap, the Word of God, that is your heritage. Precious treasure. The testimonies of God, the declaration of His will in doctrine, obligation, privilege, and duty. David had felt their value, that is, as the word of God that he had, as the very stay of his soul during shaking and sifting trial. How did David come to have this heritage? Well, as a child of Abraham, he was heir according to the promise. Men have all kinds of heritages or inheritances. It could be land, it could be an estate, it could be wealth. But our real heritage is the Word of God. It's not only our heritage because of those who have gone on before us. We can mention again Martin Luther, many of the martyrs of the past are responsible for us being able to have what we have today as believers. We owe much to those who have gone before us. Amen. But it's not only your heritage because of all of those things. Dear ones, as you sit here today as a child of God, it's a choice. It's a heritage because of a choice by the grace of God that you were enabled to make. And to come into the fellowship and into the context of those who hold God's truth precious and unchanging. May that heritage every day become increasingly precious. And know what it is to live it out in your everyday life so that it becomes more and more a gripping reality of life. And it becomes an ever-increasing valuable treasure to your soul for eternity. Earthly heritage. It goes. It's gone. This will abide forever. God's truth is eternal. The world promises much. But the promises of God are eternal. And are always assured. Sad those who have all of their heritage in the things of this life. The material, this world is passing away. And what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Where is your heritage? Look at verse 112. There's another word I want to call your attention to. It's the word heart. David said, I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes always, even to the end. Notice those words. Heart. Even to the end. How binding did he sense this obligation? Not for a day. Not for a week, a month, or a year. Even to the end. And how is it going to capture his life? It's going to be a heart issue. The inclining of the heart to the Lord's statutes, and it is the work of God in and through us. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is that we have that assurance that that good work which God has begun in us, He will perform even until the day of Jesus Christ in each of our lives. May God be pleased to perfect that good work in you and in me and in each of us, quickening us by the power of His Holy Spirit. Every step in life, yes, being plagued with conflict of indwelling sin and from the trinity of enemies that we have. Oh, the Spirit of God dwelling within us, giving us great victory until the day we are with Him. What a day that will be. I want you to turn in your hymn book to hymn number 267. Because we've been focusing upon the Word of God, Christ, and I was drawn to this hymn and the conclusion of our lesson. Let's just look at it, read through it. Think about what it says, because it says so much in so few words. O Word of God incarnate, O Wisdom from on high, notice these words, O Truth unchanged, unchanging. Truth unchanged, unchanging. O light of our dark sky, we praise Thee for the radiance that from the hallowed page, a lantern to our footsteps, shines on from age to age. The church from her dear Master received the gift divine, and still that light she lifted over all the earth to shine. It is the golden casket where gems of truth are stored. It is the heaven-drawn picture of Christ, the living Word. It floateth like a banner before God's host unfurl. It shineth like a beacon above the darkling world. It is the chart and compass that o'er life's surging sea, mid mists and rocks and quicksands, still guides, O Christ, to Thee. O make Thy church, dear Savior, lamp of purest gold, to bear before the nations Thy true light as of old. O teach Thy wandering pilgrims by this their path to trace. Clouds and darkness ended, they see Thee face to face. Precious truths, may they grip our hearts. And may we be committed in our own personal life and as a church always to buy the truth and sell it not. And perhaps I'll just mention this before we close. One of the reasons why this weighs very heavily on my heart, and I'm not going to give you any particular identifying information, but I've been in the realm of Reformed churches now for a number of years. And I've lived to see the day when there are churches that I knew that are backing away from those things that were most surely believed among us. And I guess that stirred my heart for God to be more and more ever committed to holding to those things that we believe to be true. We believed it then, and we believe it now. And I just share that with you so you'll kind of know a little bit about what's on my heart in these days. May God keep us faithful, true, in the midst of some who are backing away. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray that you might stir our hearts today to a greater degree of loyalty and commitment to you, to your word, to your truth, regardless of what it might cost us. And we pray, Father, that we will hold tenaciously, even as David, to the end. For our good and for your glory. We pray and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.